Welcome, everybody, to Greeting Mashiach. Today, we have a very special guest, Rabbi Tzvi Homnick. He is going to tell us about himself. And Rabbi Homnick, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, tell us a little bit about your background, and we'll start from there.
I grew up in a American family. Both my parents were born in America. One of my four grandparents was born in America. We grew up. My father was a Talmud of many well-known yeshivas, primarily Chaim Berlin. And so we grew up the designation of yeshivish hadn't yet fully taken form at the time, but we were kind of American/yeshivish, so we all went to standard yeshivas, what for us is standard. And so did I. So I went to yeshivas like Terva Das, Chaim Berlin, Mir, ended up in Lakewood. I grew up in the first years we lived in East Flatbush before the neighborhood turned and we moved to Flatbush. So there was some exposure to Lubavitch. When my father was off from work, he would go to for minyan. The local minyanim were only 7:30. Maybe the latest one would be 8. So when he was off from work, he would go to 7:70 for the Chapa minyan. So there many times, especially like Chalamot, things like that. My father told me that for my Hachnasa L'cheder, he took me to Rabbi Michael Teitelbaum. So I actually, of all the kids, I actually had a Chabad connection from from the earliest lick of honey. So maybe that was started all the problems. But later I was in Ole Torah day camps as a kid because a lot of Nat Lubavitch kids were there. In fact, the years that I was there, all the counselors were Nat Lubavitch also because all the Lubavitch Rebbechim wanted to go on Shlichas. And one of the Lamids that ever said a Sicha, Danhalla complained, parents complained, that Rebbe said a sicha that being a counselor is also shluchas. So the last year I went to that day camp was the year when all the Lubavitchers took over and everything became like hyper Lubavitch. And that was like a little too much. That was like the last year. But we went, so we went every year. I would usually go like maybe half a summer to day camp and half a summer to sleepaway camp. So we went to Rebbe for Mincha, we went to the day camp, we went to got dimes, so I saw the Rebbe as a kid, I saw 770 as a kid. I had many unpleasant interactions with the Lubavitchers as a kid. It wasn't completely foreign territory, but it wasn't something that I felt connected to. And then, how I got to Chassidus is kind of bizarre because my story and my journey is not like anybody else's, mostly because I'm just weird. But
we think you're great.
Yes, you do.
My personal spiritual issues, I wasn't like, didn't have questions and I was looking for answers. I wasn't looking like to belong, to join something and belong in anything. I didn't get like see a mitzvah tank, get all excited. And that wasn't what spoke to me. That wasn't what I related to. My own personal journey had to do more with, again, something which most people, I realized pretty early on that most people were not struggling with that issue. It's going to sound weird to say, because like I said, most people won't relate to it. As a kid, even from the youngest ages, I was struggling with the fact that the spiritual side of me and the material side of me were very far apart. So I could have very high spiritual highs and then felt like coming down from them, I was like very painful for me. So when I started learning Chassidus and I was learning my Maharam about the Ratzav Hashoev and I was learning my Maharam about the Bnei Aaron.
How did you first get exposed to learning my Maharam?
Those my Maharam spoke to me. I mean, because that was other people, they, you know, you try to explain to them what it means and it's just like words, Ratzav Hashoev, what's the Ratzav, what's the Hashoev, what the, they're like looking for the descriptions. For me, it was the other way around. Whatever struggles I had with Yiddishkeit had nothing to do with believing in the Eibushter, had nothing to do with being aware of the Eibushter in my life. It had nothing to do with, that wasn't it. In fact, when I was a very young bach, starting from a very young age, somehow guys who had, in yeshivas, guys who had questions about Emunah naturally gravitated to me to like, to, because like, I don't know.
How did you like, figure it out?
No, I didn't have it figured out. When the guy would come to me with a question, Namuna, I would say to him, listen, I don't know what you're going through because I don't know what that means to have a question, Namuna. It's just never something I had from when I'm a very little kid. I don't know what it is. But you're having it, so I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to try to work with you. It wasn't like I had all the answers. It was the other way. It was like I just never really got the question, but I got the fact that some people have it. It wasn't. Right. A thing for me. I remember once some older younger man in one of the yeshivas I was in, some other younger man like was trying to make care of me, and he thought like maybe he saw I was struggling with, so he thought maybe he's gonna like want to talk to me, ask if I had any questions in Amun. I said, what, Amun? What? Like, I said, what? No, not at all. I said, if you know anybody with questions in Amun, you can send them to me. I have no questions in Amun. I have to figure out if I can get along with God. I have to figure out how much, you know, if I can, you know, live. The way I said it was, I have to figure out how, you know, if I like him or not. Not if he's around. That's not my issue.
He exists. You believe in totally him, but.
Totally freaked him out because he was like a standard, very from the Litvish.
Never heard these ideas.
He became a very famous Maggid Shir, and then he's a Mashpia and the Litvish belt. He's not like a small guy, and he was just like he had no words. It was just like he never heard anything like that. So I said it wasn't, you know, where you want to say achsidish neshama achsidish. I have no idea what the words for it are because, like I said, I just were a weirdo. That's another word for it. I just don't know. But so to me, I knew a lot about different chassidus, including Chabad, from the side a lot. But what an outsider knows a lot, not a lot. And at some point I realized that I knew about this idea of Hisyashvus, which again, like I said, most people, you know, it's just another word in the books that they learn. But I got it. I knew the concept. And I just didn't know what that looks like in real life, what that means to actually be connected, but in a way that you're not flying off the handle, and you're not flying up, and you're not crashing down, and you're not. So I davened a lot, and the Hashgacha practice. I had been in Eretz Yisrael as a younger man. Then we came back when my son was born, and a year later I went back for the winter of Tavshin and Aleph. We ended up we thought we were going to be there for the whole winter. Then my sister-in-law came to Kala, and we made the tickets earlier. And then the tickets were like a week after the deadline for the Gulf War. So they said, if you want to leave, you have to leave now. So I ended up leaving like, you know, I was one of those guys in the airports leaving before the Gulf War, but not because that was like, I went after Saddam Hussein went into, you know, it wasn't like... Wait. I didn't go, everyone's going the other way. I was going towards there. So I went, that wasn't my problem. But, and Bashkara brought this at that time. One of the things that I did was I would look to find an empty base medrash, and that's where I hung out. Bashgacha Pratis, the place where I rented an apartment, the nearest empty Beis Medrash was a Chabad Beis Medrash. So it was Reb Tovia Bloy's shul in Sanhedria, Pagi, as it was called. And so I was sitting in an empty Chabad shul.
Rabbi Hamnick, before you continue, can I ask you what years about is this taking place? What year is this?
So I'm saying, Nun Aleph is when I really started to. I think what in Memtes, what happened was when we came back from Eretz Yisrael, I was really going through some coming off some spiritual highs, and I was really freaked out about the whole experience. And I decided that as a segula, I did it purely as a segula. It was right before Pesach, Daf Shin Memtes. I decided as a segula, I'm going to read. I'm not going to try to learn it, you know. I'm just going to read the whole Tanya from beginning to end. And that's what I did. And I guess also that had some kind of an effect, because by Elul Tavshin Nun, which is when I went back to Eretz Yisrael, and Elul Tavshin Nun, so I found myself in this empty Chabad Beis Medrash with all the Svarim there, and I decided to do a deeper dive, including a lot of those, Sefer HaTeildos and Sichos of the Friedrich Rebbe, and they had like an extensive collection. So I did a lot of the Arumic Svarim. I also knew about some of the inside stuff, and I wanted to see. From experience, I knew I don't want to just see the sugar-coated stuff. I want to see what they say for real. So I picked myself up a copy of Ramach Isis, which was at that time considered like the real, stuff that was not for public consumption. And I went through that. I wanted to know what it's all about. What happened was, a few weeks after Sukkot, there was Fitcher often had an afternoon kailo for chassidus that had been going on in the shul in Shikun Chabad, and for some reason it wasn't working out. We would have minyanim there all the time in the winter. The minyanim are earlier for mincha, the mincha times are earlier, so he moved it to this shul. So I was sitting on one side doing my own thing, and they were sitting and learning. He was learning samachov with them and giving. They were learning together, chavrusas and giving shurim, but we kind of interacted. I sat in on his shurim. I attended a fabrangin of his in one of the Jungleites' homes on Hanukkah. I had a shtickle connection with Gershe Mendel Avtson from Eretz Yisrael, I knew him already from before. He was trying to work on me, so I used to shmooze with him. That was a whole other parasha. So I skipped the thing. When I was in Eretz Yisrael in Memches, the whole elections thing started. And I was very upset and very offended by the attacks against the Rebbe, even though I consider myself a misnagid. I consider myself a misnagid to the Lubavitch. But it disturbed me very much. So I would go sit in the Shikha Chabad shul, and I got to know Gershom Mendel Avtson there. I asked him, what are some of the easier things that people do? He told me, a beginner thing. So I owned already. Even before that, I had for myself bought a chitas, but I owned so I had already a kuntrasah, tefillah, kuntrasah, avodah, kuntrasah, tzachayim. I had the derech mitzvah. I was, the Torah I had from before, because that was also an interesting Ashkacha practice that when we first got married, so before we moved there to Israel, we took one of these temporary apartments, like one of these basements for Chasson Kalev. And there was a Chassidish shtibel across the street, and I would go there to a generic Chassidish shtibel, and I would go there for Shabbos morning davening. I went there, whatever, 9, 9:30, whatever the davening was. And Punt Bashkacha Pratis, there was a Lakuta Teda there. And I used to enjoy, you know, Ben Gavra Lagavra. Because I always had I always enjoyed looking in other Svarim. I always enjoyed. So it was also Bashkach Pratis that was Tzahant. So when I got married and I went there, so one of these, I bought a Tera, a Chitas, I bought a later Derchus. Like I said, I was familiar with some of the concepts. I had a good friend in Lakewood who used to try to schlep me to Lubavitch events. And he gave me, back then in Lakewood, he gave me the Kuntres and Yana Shel Teres Achsidus, which, you know, I was very impressed by.
That's a revolutionary time.
I know that, okay, this is big stuff. That's probably why I was as offended as I was in Tavshim Emches. So as a machor against my own world where I was coming from, I was hanging out in the shul during the craziness that was going on. That's what I'm saying. It's hard. It's like a weird journey. It's like hard to describe because not
right. It sounds very much that there was little, you know, snippets here and there, and then it came into
there's no big reveal. There's no big moment. There's no big
right. So I want to fast forward to the year, to specifically, I mean, talking about Mashiach. I want to know exactly where you were, I guess, Chav Ches Nissen, when you heard about the Sicha, or if you were in Karnaitz, when you heard the Sicha, what your feeling was in then, and then go from, and then if you can, go from Chav Ches Nissen and go into all the Sichas of the rest of the year, Nun Aleph, and then into the Sichas of Nun Beis, if you can touch on that.
Okay, so basically what happened was, so at that time, when I started getting serious about it, when I came back to America, and so I did that first Shabbos we came back was the Shabbos of Parshas Bo'i, Tavshin and Aleph. And I set out to walk to Crown Heights by my in-laws. I wanted to go earlier, but my wife said, they were nervous. I'm walking into a bad neighborhood. And believe me, in those days, literally, I once tried to take a car service there, and the guy would not drive through the park.
Wow.
Now ended up closing the park, but it used to be to drivers.
Which park?
Prospect Park used to be.
Driver cars were able to drive through.
Yeah, the car service went like it was terrified to even like drive through the park at night. It was like, but I set out Shabbos day. I set out, and two of Simcha's father's friends. I have the Ashkach Brothers. I bumped into them on the way. And Stroh and Steinmetz, and I was just walking in that general direction. I had no idea where I was going. I hadn't been there in years. I didn't know. I figured I'll walk towards the direction of Prospect Park, see what happens. So they got me there. That was a little bit of a shtickle powerful moment because when I got in, there was no place to squeeze in. There was no place to get in. Because they had made the room smaller and tighter because they didn't want the Rebbe to strain his voice. So they made the area with the bleachers and everything, they made it much smaller. So to try to find a place, basically, there was not. We came late. I came, you know. So there was no chance of anything. So I decided I came to see the Rebbe. This is the, you know, this Gulf War started. I came to see the Rebbe. I heard everything the Rebbe had to say about the Gulf War. I came to see the Rebbe. I'm going to see the Rebbe. So I climbed up the bleachers that were with the back to the Aron Kodesh, those bleachers. And so I had one foot on those bleachers and one foot on the bleachers on the end of the dais and holding on with the one. And so basically I was hanging in midair, the clean-shaven nut who showed up out of nowhere and is hanging in midair between the two bleachers. And that's it. I decided if I came, this is what. And so the famous part of the Sicha, which the Rebbe said that they should not review and that they should not publish about Bush and Saddam Hussein and finishing him off. So the way the Rebbe said that Sicha was he turned in his seat to the right and he looked right at me. I was between, you know, I was in the empty space. That was where the empty space was. He was like looking at the people, at the crowd. He's looking, I was in the empty space. So he's looking right at me. And that's what the Rebbe was saying this whole piece. And I could hear more of the words. I couldn't hear most of the words of what the Rebbe was saying. And Fabregni, but I could hear a lot more of the words when the Rebbe was saying that it like used a stronger voice and was looking right at me. So that was one kind of spooky experience. So at that time I was basically I would showing up Sundays for dollars, and once in a Yovel, every couple of weeks I would maybe walk in to the Shabbos for Brengen, because it meant staying till after Shabbos, and it meant like a whole, my wife, we had a young child. It wasn't like, not something she was used to grow up with. It was, so this is Nun Aleph. Hold on one second. So I'm going. Oh, so the thing is like this. So how I got the new Fabregen every week was I would go to the candy store under the train tracks to buy the new Kvar Chabad to get the new Sicha. So that's how I kept up to the regular Kuntas Sichas you get in the shuls. The shuls that would throw them in the Shemus, so I knew where to find the. Sorry to disappoint all the guys who are doing this amazing hafatzah, but I used to get a lot of stuff out of the Shemus of shuls that the Gabe would come in for the people and toss them in the Shemus. Some shuls not. And later, actually, it wasn't as bad as back then. But so I came, so I would go through the weekly sicha, and nobody taught me how to filter the Rebbe out. What he means for real, what he doesn't mean for real. The Lubavitchers seem to have some kind of special insight.
Yeah, there is definitely so to speak, a code with my dollars or sicha, the Rebbe's expression.
Each one has his homemade filtration system, like what yeah, what not, what's for real, what's not, what's mechayev, what's not mechayev, what's just the Rebbe talking in Inyan. There's such a thing as talking in Inyan. I didn't know any of that stuff. So to me, I'm reading this stuff and I'm freaking out because, if this is real, then, this is wild stuff.
Can you talk specifically what your impression was on Chav Ches, with the Sicha of Tutalts?
So I was not present. I missed it.
But learning the Sicha. If you can remember.
I can, but it wasn't as earth-shattering for me as it was probably for people who had this whole philosophy of, whatever their pre-existing philosophy was. But I understood that it was a big moment, and so I came to all the sifas they made afterwards about what to do, and I did sign on Kabbalah Samalchus. It was a few weeks after I stopped shaving, I signed on a Kabbalah Samalchus. That Pesach, I didn't... you don't shave for Sfira, so after that Pesach, I didn't start shaving again. So that was that's how much of a beard I had at the time. I understood that this was a wake-up call. I didn't quite relate to how everybody else was, how the Lubavitch reaction was.
Ischiasmus was kicking in.
I had to get the ganze spilus of what was going on, but it was just the idea that I don't think we're getting the message that the Rebbe is demanding something of us in a real sense. Everybody was sort of turning it around to how are we, the Rebbe is demanding of us to sort of somehow trick him into doing it.
It was all about finding a kunz.
Yeah, like we have to somehow come up with a chap that's going to force him to do it. I remember later, sitting at a Fabrengen with a certain well-known Mashiach activist was Fabrenging that in Beth Israel they should take the Rebbe's bed and throw it out the window. And that way, the Rebbe will have to get up and redeem class. So whatever. This was really the people had this very strong feeling. Even as they were saying, chazring had the Rebbe saying, don't put it on me, it's on you. But they still had, it's on me to put it on you. It was always, it always ended up being turned around to, and I, you know, I saw the sikhs as they came out afterwards. I said, you know, I didn't know anybody. I literally did not know anybody. Nobody, nothing. I was not into, it was just me in a basement, and sitting in a basement of a shul in Bar Park, or sitting alone somewhere. This was, I did not know anybody. In that period of time, maybe a total of 3 people said Shalom Aleichem to me in about a year and a half. Me draying in Lubavitch, starting with out a beard, and starting with, and then showing up. You know, I came for Dashana Yom Kippur Numbeis. I came with a non Lubavitch talis and a silver tar on it, and so a total right outreach to strangers wandering into 770. I think I got 3 Shalom Aleichems, maybe 4. I'm saying it was like I knew nobody. So I'm just like an observer. The whole thing is I'm just watching this thing unfold. And I saw what the Rebbe said in Parashas Shmini and Tazria Matzor. By the way, what happened was I saw everybody was saying Chav Ches Nissen was out of the blue. But I had learned the Sikh of Chavav Nissen. And the Sikh of Chavav Nissen, the Rebbe was screaming. I did about storming about how are you talking that people aren't going wild about the Nissen. And how come they're not dancing in the street? And then afterwards, Menachem Galitsky started a circle out in the street. And they danced a little bit in the street. But it was like, and when I saw the Chav Ches Nissen, it was to me like, it's just he's saying, you haven't been listening to me. Not, it was like, oh, a new thing out of the blue. It was, well, if you were following what I said up till now,
wow,
you should have been, you know, out in the streets. You should have been, changing your inner worlds and your outer worlds and getting ready for the main event. And people were just like, wow, isn't the Rebbe amazing? And the Rebbe says, I know I'm amazing. I didn't come to this world to more people to know that I'm amazing. I came here to get you to do what you need to do. So whatever. I saw it. So on one hand, I was very caught up in it. I was in it. I was a part of it. But on the other hand, I would look at the side and say like, you know, that's it. People, I would come to a Fabrengen, and the whole Fabrengen would be how the Rebbe is everything and we're nothing. Okay. But the Rebbe said, the whole point that the Rebbe is trying to say is, I get it. I know you're nothing. Fine. But I'm giving you all these keiches to now you're nothing. Do something. I'm giving you the keiches. So don't stop being a nothing in terms of what you do. You could be a nothing for yourself. So if you're such a nothing and therefore you don't want to have any hanof in Eilam Haza, or you're a nothing that you wanna indulge in Eilam Haza, which kind of nothing are you? If you're kind of nothing that Mamar succumbed to the garden, it's fine, great, but there's something you need to do. And the people, very sincere, people are very, I'm not knocking anybody, I saw people, Mamish, that, you know, with tremendous personal self-sacrifice and tremendous devotion and tremendous, but they were barking up a tree that I thought is the tree that the Rebbe is saying, ain't the tree.
and by these Fabrengens that you were sitting by, you would voice your.
I never said a word.
You were just an observer.
At some point, they started coming to the, you know, it was costing me a ton of money because my, you know, my wife and mother-in-law would not let me take trains. So car services then was, you know, not like they are today. You know, the price of Ubers and car services today is insane. But then it was still not cheap for that time. And so to go at night meant car services. To get a car service in Crown Heights at night was almost impossible. You'd have to stand out on the street and wave a guy down. So you would have all these guys, White Pearl and all of those other the black car services. You'd wave a guy down and sometimes he would say yes and thank you. So it was costing me a ton of money. I started going to the Siyumi Harambams. So I did get to know the regulars there. But at that time, the Siyumi Harambams, even though they were small, but because of the hookup and people all around the world really listened in to that hookup then, because that was their connection to 770. So any guy,
Menachem Rilitsky's Sima Rambam.
Yeah, yeah, that was the. It was a big thing because anybody who was a guest in town came. I mean, people like Manus Friedman came and spoke at the.
Ooh, wow. What type of stuff was Rabbi Manus Friedman
saying? I'm saying another way. Because if you're in town and you want to be heard by the shluchim around the world, what they're
playing, that's where you went. That was the address. Was the place.
So yeah, so you heard everybody, anybody who was anybody and was in town, it would come. There were plenty of guys who were probably didn't pass for them. They're too great and too awesome to sit with them. But almost everybody who was anybody at that time, with Carmen Fabreng, and I would hear, so I would hear all the stories. I would hear the people. I remember actually very close to each other at that time was this whole new thing. But that was no, you know what? The truth is that I was doing that more later in Mumbai's and in Gimel. But I did start in the summer of an Aleph because I remember that they made me stop going when the riots broke out. So I had already been doing it. My mother-in-law forbade me to go. My wife and mother-in-law forbade me to go when the riots were going on. So I did go once anyway, but it's just again. But yeah, I didn't. So, I really.
So can we? So let. I want to. I guess shift the conversation and focus on more. Starting with Noyach, Vayera, Chayisara. All when these sikhs are coming out and. I'm assuming you weren't there Shabbos, but you were hearing the sichas, or you were seeing this, learning the sichas after.
Like I said, occasionally I would go there Shabbos, but mostly I was just getting
right. So what I guess what was your impressions and reactions to the
when I knew the weeks that I knew it was in Yiddish, I would make sure to get a Yiddish copy to see it in the original, not the translation. So the thing is like this, let me jump ahead. So Rosh Chodesh Kislev, after the first Rosh Chodesh Kislev after Gimel Tammuz. So at this time, I had already started speaking. I was speaking, I spoke in the Zal and in Alatera, I spoke in Maristan, I spoke in numerous other places in 770. It was the tkufa that I was like, speaking a lot about in Yoni Moshiach Gula, I spoke on a hookup for Shluchim, arranged by the Shluchim. It was Shluchim office then, but it was whatever. It was that.
What did he say to the Shluchim?
So this was, I was like the new kid in town. This is the outsider who's with the Kachim Moshiach, and sort of people felt is actually able to explain some things that others were. Before I did that, I'll jump backwards now for a second. I was going through all the sichas, and I started going to all the mashpiyim in Lubavitch and saying, why are you talking this way when the sichas are saying something different? And they said, well, how do you understand the sichas? So I spent hours with all the names that going through what it says. So they said, okay. So they said to me, you know what? Go talk to Rabbi Yael. He's the one that's running the Mahalach. Everyone's following him. You talk to him. So I set up a meeting with him, and nobody believed me afterwards.
What year is this?
This is Tavshin Nun Gimel. And I sat with Rabbi Yael Khan. This was Pesach time, Tavshin Nun Gimel. I sat with him for 4 hours in his house. Wow. No, the people that afterwards didn't believe me that he gave me 4 hours. Sat for 4 hours. I went through sikha after sikha after sikha. I said to him, you're coming with a message. You're the guy. Nobody comes to you to hear about Amunah. Everybody comes to you to hear about Hasbara and Sechel. Nobody comes to you to hear about Amunah. They hear about Amunah. They have all kinds of other guys who that's their specialty. Everyone comes to you to hear Hasbara. And all you're telling them is, your message is, I don't have Hasbara. It's all Sechel. It's all Amunah. So when you tell them I don't have hasbara, that means, and all your hasbara is why there's no hasbara and it's emuna. So you could give long drashas with hasbarim, but the hasbarim always came back to the fact that we don't understand. So I said, the message is that it's not in this world. It's something out of this world. It's something that doesn't make sense to us. It's something that So he said, so what do you think? So by the way, he never spoke to me afterwards again. more than 30 seconds. Ever. No, literally, I did 30 seconds max. He gave me, he wrote an article against part of what I was saying, actually, in Krachabad under his pseudonym. But he did start including in his talks a lot of the points that we covered, a lot of the points that we discussed. It definitely there was a shift. That's like I said, in Nundalit is when I started becoming more of a, I actually went public. So that was around Yudshvat Tafshin Nundalit. And let me tell you about the talk that I gave on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the first Rosh Chodesh Shvat after Gimel Tammuz. So Meir Harlig, the whole place is people are completely, lost. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of sides. There's court cases starting. There's things going on. Nobody knew what's what. Tishrei was like deserted. You can't even imagine what Tishrei looked like. People who were there before, people who were there, a few years later, can't imagine what Tishrei was like in Nunhei and even somewhat in above. But in Nunhei, it was like really, so there's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the Meir Harlig is not making a suda for Rosh Chodesh Shvat, so the Gabbayim, at that time Menachem Galitzky was one of the Gabbayim, but the Gabbayim arranged the Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So it was set up that way with the beam in the back and Meir, the way, the little platform there in the back. And I spoke at this Rosh Chodesh Shvat thing. So I'll tell you a little bit the title of what I spoke. And you see, we go back, if you want to go back to specific sikhs, you go back to specific sikhs. Basically, the title that I spoke was that I saw a lot more signs of it later than even I knew about then. But the Rebbe's, even before the Nesiyas, the Rebbe would write to people that the Friedrich Rebbe gave jobs to for outreach. And the Rebbe would say, and they would be kvetching, of course. They could be, I don't have time for learning, davening. I came to be a chassid, I didn't come to be running around, being a malamed, schlepping little kids. But it's very fascinatingly, you see the answers that the Rebbe is writing for those people who are out on these different kinds of shlichasim of the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rebbe's kav was that do it like Rav Hillel Parachut. That he said everything he does is also best leg in Avart Chassidus. You should know that Nasa Meche Velibe Zachim Elef Panam Kacha. Why are you talking about you doing this instead of that? What do you mean? You're getting a tremendous leverage here. Meche Velibe Zachim Elef Panam Kacha. You're a Bill Barrett. You traveled, you did all those things that he did. He says it's also best leg in Avart Chassidus. That's the way you should do it. Adarama. No one's telling you not to say this. And the Rebbe used that kav, and even at the beginning of the Nesiyas, the Rebbe still spoke in such oasis. In later years, not as openly and as frequently, but in later years also, there were times, so I was quoting from the Sefer HaShlichus. There were two Maduras. One was of the early years, and then came out with all the later Mugadika Sichus to the Shluchim and so on. But in some of the language that the Rebbe used, was about where the Rebbe spoke about, he doesn't understand that he's telling everybody that the shlichus makes meichem libe zachem elef pangum kacha. But what do they think? That if you have to use it, if you have that mind, you have that heart, you have to use it. It's not going to magically do it by itself. We're giving you these unbelievable tools, and you got to use them. So I quoted a lot of those things that the Rebbe said. Maybe Achon Shel Pesach Lamed Dalet about what it means to be a Tamim in response to Rashag's question about is it true what they're saying that now Lubavitch is about outreach and it's not about Teirav Avayda. So and that's and the Rebbe Mamash spoke very very strong that it's only about Teirav Avayda. The outreach is a part of the Teirav Avayda. So I said, Lemaisa, yes, very nice. The Rebbe spoke those things, but Lemaisa practiced Geret. The Olam did not take it as it was said. The Olam takes it. The average guy takes it as a stira, and he's picking outreach work instead of the other word. That's it. Now there's me. One guy will open a sefer more, one guy will open a sefer less, one guy will give more shurim, one guy will give less shurim. But the idea was, the idea as it is, ungenommen. In real world terms, except for maybe some singular exceptions, that it was once said, I have one shliach who davens, that it once said, about Gurkov in Massachusetts, that it was said, it was not, there was like, it was, you know,
and it wasn't the rule.
And the Rebbe did not at any point, you know. So I said, if you look at the seals of an elephant and bays, I think the Rebbe is telling us he's not going to Mashiach as the Rebbe who failed to make chassidim that are chassidim of chassidus and that are only chassidim of outreach. That's it. I don't think that's the plan. I don't think that was the Mesiras Nefesh of the Alter Rebbe on Yutas Kislev. And I don't think that was the Mesiras Nefesh of all the Rabbeim. He's letting you know, if you go through the Sichas of Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, he's letting you know it's not enough to, you have to represent. You can't just present, you can't just chat, you have to represent, you have to be what you're teaching. And the Rebbe, that was the Maimer about the Tzavah, that was all the Sichas. Sure, occasionally, you know, people will pick a Lashon from a Sicha here, and then, the next day or two, the Rebbe said, had a Yechid, you know, people pick out a Lashon from the Noyach Tav Shinun Beis and read it a certain way. I said, yeah, and then a few days later, the Rebbe had the Yechidus for Bachram and said that it should be upgraded by a Bacha as a Dava Pasha, that he needs to know Kala Terakula. Kibshut, and I was like, nah, that should be. And by the way, something which when the Rebbe was asked in earlier years, famously, Hertz from England wanted to come up with a program that how Bachram could go through Shas at least once. And when he brought it to the Rebbe said, Weistas, nicht zu viel halten bei der. That's what didn't know, the Rebbe, he had a program, how he's going to do it, a Girsa program, and how he's going to. So then the Rebbe turns around. The Rebbe is telling you, if you're learning pshat, that I'm saying less Torah and less Avodah, and more, whatever it is, more tefillin, more Neder Shabbos, more jumping up and down and screaming, more whatever the more is. But if it's you think that I'm not talking about more Torah and Avodah, which I told you in Shabbos Parsha Shmini, that's what I'm talking about. Does Tazria Metzera, I also was really saying that. Somehow you managed to only figure out from Tazria Metzera that I was saying that Chassidim say about the Rebbe that he's Mashiach. Fine, you managed to get that. But that's not what I was saying. Fine. In each Sicha, you took out what you wanted to take out, what fit your narrative. But I'm not saying, I don't want to come across like I'm saying that I'm promoting Frumkeit. I'm not promoting religion. I'm not promoting religion here. What I'm telling you is that Spiras HaMalchus is the whole point of Geula is that in the language of Chassidus, that Spiras HaMalchus goes from a Nekuda to being a patz of Sholem that's not only Shava v'Shava and Panim v'Panim with Zohar Baila, but it's Oila L'Maila. And it's all about the Erchaiser. You want to talk Haskola the Geisus? The power of the Erchaiser is not that you just have like the Mitzrayim, you just have the Amunah and everything else is in the toilet. It's that like the Rebbe says about the Tzava. You take that Nakuda of that the Rebbe is awakening in you that Mashiach is something that's in your Kishkas, right? You didn't. That's not something you accomplish through Avoida. The Rebbe is waking up something in you. Now take that and actualize it in all of your Kaychas because that's the power of Archeza, of the Kesem, of Mata Lamaila. The power of that is that not that you have less Giloyim. No, the earlier generations had higher Giloyim Mitzad or Yasher because they're higher, they're closer to the source of the light. They get more light, they have more light. Your power doesn't come from there. You're at the end. You're the heels. You're dead. Dead man walking. That's the heel is the Malach HaMavish HaBadim. You're fine. We got it. You don't have a heart. You don't have a head. You don't have a heart. Fine. But you have the kayach, you have the kayach of Beichem is the Libay Zachem Elof Pavel Kach. You have the kayach of the Erechayza. The kayach of the Erechayza is contrary to, is different than Ariyasha in that it's not exciting. It's not exciting. What it is you do it. As you do, you don't have these dramatic change experiences and like transformative experiences. When you do, then at some point you like look back and you say, oh, wow, look where I am. I would have never thought I would end up here. But yeah, look at that. You know, so the guy who started out with Billy, you know, so the guys who did it in Shluchas, that a lot of people have done it. They started out and just kept going. And now they look back and say, wow, if you would have told me 20 years ago when I started out that I would have these buildings and I would have this and I would have that, I would have thought you were dreaming. It's not this, you know, major epiphanies and revelations. It's like, it's just the reality itself aligns with the truth. So same thing in Avodah Pnimis. It sounds like people think, because I can't meditate for 5 hours, so, you know, I don't meditate for 5 minutes either. I don't even meditate. I mean, I haven't thought about some of the most basic yisoides of chassidus. I haven't spent 5 minutes. I was once, somebody invited me to give a shiur during a certain tkufah when there was like a whole group of bachrim that were considered like top bachrim learning in 770 in one shot. It was like big heads and big this. So a guy invited me, this one went off to college, one went off to this guy invited me to give him a shiur shiur, and he said, but you know, this is not, this guys want to hear rah, rah, rah. You're going to have to give them real shiur. So I said, okay, you know, I showed up. So the first thing I asked, they said, you know, you're familiar with, there's a long way and a short way in Tanya. And basically the short way is from chapter 18 through 25. That's it. All that ever says, you need to know that this really, 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 really works. And it works like 100%. It's not like you're going to mamash do your Torah mitzvahs with absolute love and fear of Hashem. Real, it's your hidden love. It's not something that you built up yourself. That's why the Rebbe explains it's not two, can't be two separate paths. It has to be incorporated into one. But basically, the Rebbe says, you know, that's it. It's do or die. Everything is either you're accepting God's oneness or you're rejecting God's oneness. And because you're ready to die rather than reject God's oneness, you're all in. And when you remind yourself how you're all in for God, so I said, you know, I've heard you guys are, you know, serious knackers and this. I'm curious, did you once in your life spend 5 minutes? This is the way. We go through chitas and we promote Tanya learning around the world. Did you ever once, it could be you did 5 hours. You don't have to, I'm not saying, did you ever do one, in one sitting, at least 5 minutes about, and they all like look at each other a little embarrassed and they're like, so I think, I'm not knocking anybody. I think people are amazing and people are sincere and people are want to do the right thing. I think people are being misled. I don't think they're in any way bad. I think people are being, or not smart enough to see the truth. It has to do with not being smart. It has to do with there's a culture and there's an environment and people are so. Now maybe there's a split, so you can pick which environment you relate to more. But, you know, which collective approach of thinking. The idea that, like I said, I don't think that I was going to the Gula with Leidige Kaplan and Taita Herze. I think he's going with, he wants people who come with the whole package. I think that's what he told us, and, you know. And all those things, I think that's what he let us know about the time. That's what he told the shluchim on Parshas Chayisara.
That's Prat Kabbalah's Panim Shalskeno, that you should greet Mashiach, you should greet him properly.
That's the Kaychas HaNefesh.
That's the Kaychas HaNefesh. I'm not showing up to meet a bunch of guys who are not showing up with real Shreda.
The important qualifier, I think, is that the Ru'u Gidulim Shegidalti
means it's not just enough. And by the way, this guy's what tremendous Bekiyim Echsidus that mind-blowing, and that's a different sugi. But I'm saying the inner stuff that that people you can't even talk about. Nemistika stuff. You're like a weirdo. You're like an oddball. You're like you can't talk about it. I don't. You know what I mean? People say to me, "Oh, why didn't you ever make a career of being a speaker?" Because, I don't want to get paid to say messages that are not what I think the message should be. So, yes, it'd be nice to have the money. It'd be nice to have the exposure. It'd be nice to have this, but I'm just not doing that. I'm not becoming a crowd pleaser. And sorry, maybe I should.
Is it impossible to also say the right things? Is it possible to be a public speaker and only speak your heart, or does it necessarily mean you're going to have to say be a crowd pleaser?
What happened is, I had a few experiences where I spoke in a lineup of a few speakers, and afterwards, and what I was saying was very different than the other speakers. It wasn't like close, but I was using all the same sources. And I met people afterwards who absolutely, it was one big mishmash to them. What this guy said, what I said, they were asking me questions on what he said, on what the other one said, on this. And I said, that wasn't me. I was saying, that's his thing. He says he knows Kitzim. He knows how to figure out whatever. I don't know that stuff. Why are you talking to me? I'm telling you, forget about Kitzim. We have a job to do. And, I saw that if you try to beat around the bush, but whatever. So Bekitz, I spoke this Teich of Bekitz at this Rosh Chodesh
Kislev.
At this Rosh Chodesh Kislev thing. And I heard afterwards from the other people sitting on the dais, one of them is, two are no longer with us, that Rabbi Marlow turned to them and said, he's right. He heard it, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense that the Rebbe, do you really think that that's, you're gonna make the Rebbe so great and so great and so great and he's not great enough to win your mind and heart, only your hands and feet? That's all he gets. He gets your hands and feet, and maybe he gets your amuna, they're fine, but you're not
really. You mean elef ragli amash are neche bekirbei?
Yes, the feet are great, but he wants your head and heart. He's telling you. He wants to ask a question. And there's a resistance to it. It's not like, people are really making good faith effort to show up with ask a question and nefesh. They're not being so successful. Nobody said anything about being successful. To how much each individual is going to be successful or not be successful is a different thing. That I was it. Who yiftas Yisrael be called Sarayso before who yiftas Yisrael be called Avinayso. I'm not talking about being, being a Beinoni, that ever talks about being a tzaddik, that ever talks about, that's what I'm saying, I'm sitting in my basement and I'm reading these things in the basement of the shul and I'm reading this stuff and then I come out to 770 and it's goodness, it was mamish like nothing. I reviewed it later when I was rabbeinu in yeshivas and I would chazit his word and people would say that, ask your mashpiyim. That's what I would say, ask your mashpiyim what it means. And I would get reports back. The first, this one asked, this very famous Mashpia was asked, the Rebbe never said such a thing. Then they showed him inside. He said, so it must mean blah, 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 blah. And this is, everyone had what it must mean, that you could be a tzaddik. I was like, I went around asking people, what is if you'll be Mizbaina and the Sakal B'Shleish Advarim, and not the Bali De'Avera, you won't even have to struggle with Taiva's hat.
Right.
And the Rebbe qualifier, the Rebbe adds, in fact, the Rebbe says, not the body of the Rebbe adds, and even Yedei Avera, which is even Taiva's hat, right? The Rebbe, there's no qualifiers there. So what qualifiers? So this, it puts in zero qualifiers. It says, that works. Yeah, are we working it? Are we figuring it out? Did any serious thinkers sit down together, put their heads together and say, hey, this is nuts. The Rebbe said this, and why are we walking around like and I'm very chassidish because I say what about taiva I am and what a grubber young I am, and I say it with the $250 scotch, so now I'm really a grubber young, so I could show, and the $150 meat board and. And so it's a good Rabbi Yonah. So now the
Back then they had meatballs in Mandalas.
Because even though I'm grub, but I care and I cry, and so I'm glad. Okay, fine. It's something very moving and very touching about all that. Honestly, I'm not making fun of it in the sense that I'm not touched by it. I am touched by seeing a serious Grav Jung crying into his $250 scotch. Hey, Rebbe, we need you. It's very moving. It's very touching because it's something very, very powerful and very real there. It's that Nakuda. You're seeing the Nakuda of, okay, let's hope he does. Let's hope he's not a Ganva Pumachtarta, but it's that same Nakuda that the Ganva Pumachtarta has. And it's very moving. It's very touching to, you know, to hear about a guy who's dancing around the statue of Buddha in Rayim, and when the guys come, he screams Shema Yisrael. Okay, fine. You know, it's very touching, very moving, but we recommend that everyone should now go on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and dance, boys and girls, around a Buddha statue? And then scream Shema Yisrael if terrorists come? No, we're not recommending that. In fact, that it's there and it's very powerful, it's very moving, it's very touching, it's very tragic, and we feel it in our kitschkes. It's not that we don't just hear it, we feel it. If you have any kind of Yiddish feeling. But that's not the solution. That's not the prescription.
I want to ask you a little bit about I guess you're saying essentially, right, that the whole vert really is basically the Rebbe wants from us results. He wants results not necessarily in the world. He wants results in us. Right?
Well, yes, and yeah. Well, it's not.
One of them, right? It's not. You're right. It's not one or the other. It's not that we should all close ourselves in a room and.
That was the fallacy that the Rebbe was trying to be shaylo from even before he became Rebbe.
Right.
Literally go into the letters of the Rebbe from before he became
Rebbe. Hillel Parter.
And you'll see that he was being shaylo that fallacy that there's a conflict.
No. Right. I'm not saying necessarily that there's a conflict necessarily, but I'm asking more. Okay, not necessarily does that have to be a conflict, but which when I'm making a cheshbon and nefesh and I'm deciding am I going the right direction? So if one of them starts, if there ends up being a conflict in the sense of, let's say, I'm on shlichus and I'm doing hafatzah and all these things, but I am losing on this. Should I start taking a step back on this and then working on this, or in the sense of not necessarily is it a conflict?
Oh, but so in that same sikha, the Rebbe talks about istakar b'shleish dvarim. The Rebbe explains that the first thing is istakar b'shleish dvarim, that a person goes through life and he feels like there's the Torah avodah gemilas chasadim, and sometimes one conflicts with the other, and he feels conflicted when he's devoting to one thing, he's not busy with the other. The Rebbe says that through istakar b'shleish dvarim, you come to the fact that it's not a conflict. They're all perfectly harmonized and integrated, and there's no conflict between the kavim. The kavim are all unified. It's not the three things become one thing. So the whole point, that's what I'm saying. The whole point is we're starting with, and we raise the kids, and we raise talmidim with the conflict. The conflict, and yes, it's true. The only conflict that exists is the one with yourself.
Right.
The Rebbe says there's no conflict with the world anymore. The conflict with the world, that's gone. The Rebbe said about the conflict with yourself, it should be aloi vecha. You shouldn't be, and even if it looks like the world is being conflicting, just be above it, and you'll see that that's not a real conflict. So aloi vecha means, so it's not a new thing. It's been around since the Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe wasn't the chadish thing of aloi vecha. But they did. But the Rebbe is telling us is don't buy into the story that the story is about the conflict. The story is about the revelation of godliness. And the revelation of godliness has to take place. And by the way, it says everywhere, it says everywhere in Kabbalah and Chassidus, going all the way from the Baal Shem Tov and from that, and it's in Tanya, and there's everything that comes out into this world has to pass through the Jews first. That's right. It. Jewish souls are the conduit. That means that the Giloyim of Lasid Lava, the Giloyim of Kulam Yedu Aisi, the Giloyim of Pnimin Satera, it has to come through Yidden first. And the Rebbe is telling you that those Yidden who are exposed to his teachings, it has to come through you first. Like I said, I was once sitting by Fabrengen, and there was an older Jew in his 80s. Yeah, he did tremendous things, personal sacrifice for the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's in Yonim. And no, I'm not knocking. I don't come to his toenails when it comes to what he gave for the Rebbe. But he's talking with Fabrengen how great the Rebbe is. So I said, I want to ask you one question. Is the Rebbe great enough to turn you into a mensch?
You asked the shliach this?
I said, is the Rebbe great enough that he could turn you into a mensch?
Ooh.
He's not a shliach. He's a He's a very nice person that was put his neck out for the Rebbe many ways. I said, is he great enough to make you into a mensch? And he was like shocked into silence. And there were a lot of, he's like quite a bit older than me, and other people were feeling very uncomfortable. He was shocked. Well, what was I asking? I wasn't attacking him. I was saying, if you make him so great that he's out there, Margis Mamlachas, and he makes miracles, and he does. Okay, what has he done for your mind and your heart? What has he done for your inner world? What has he done to transform? To what extent have you bought into his reality of Elokus B'Pshitas? Because that's really what the Shlichus is. Shlichus was always about, I see the reality of Elokus B'Pshitas. You see a world that's broken. I'm going to guide you in how to take that broken world and make it line up with my vision of Elokus B'Pshitas. But you have to also be going along for the ride that it should become for you Elokus B'Pshitas to the extent that you can. So if Elokus B'Pshitas, so it's not that exciting.
Right.
If the world is B'Pshitas and then you have this big revelation of Matan Torah, it's very exciting. Everything is, if Mitzrayim is the B'Pshitas and then you have Nigalei Melech Malach, it's like everything is, the world turns upside down.
Right, but so we could say the same thing with Mashiach, I guess, with the Geula, that, for many, many years, people thought that, it'll all come in like a massive revelation, clouds splitting and the Beis HaMikdash coming down and Mashiach either coming on eagle's wings or on a mule, but like, really cool with, an olden day white beard long, with the old garb and a big shafer on his back holding it and blowing it. But you're saying that, right, so essentially taking that continuation that Rebbe is saying in Chayesara, that this whole concept of I see the world like this, I see the world of the Kosp Pshittas, and you don't see it yet, but my whole vart is that I'm giving you the kayach, I'm sending you out to take what I see and give it out, and the whole whole nekuda is that you should, as the shliach itself, should see Elokus B'Pshitas. But now translate Elokus B'Pshitas to geula. The Rebbe is saying that the world is already ready.
It's not just the geula; it's everything in your life. Elokus B'Pshitas, and like the Rebbe said then in that same cheshbon, Tavshin Beis, the Rebbe said, "Oh, you want to be rich? Learn the Metal Rebbe's Chassidus for sure. Then you'll be rich, right?"
I want to know really
lining up. How many people are lining up to learn the Mitzvah of Rebbe's Chassidus to become rich? There are people who run there are people who practically live by the oil. There are people who are practically, they're running here, they're running there, they're running there. God told them that Rebbe said, why? Because Rebbe's talking from Elokus B'Pshitas. And it's so hard, and you're so resistant to the message of Elokus B'Pshitas that to you, I'm going to sit and learn Mitzvah Rebbe's Chassidus, and that's how I'm going to, my parnasa situation is going to change. Sounds to you like a fantasy, some kind of magic trick, if it will work at all. And anyway, probably God is going to want to zap me anyway. He'll figure out some other reason why to zap me and mess up my life, because when I grew up young, and whatever the Chassidus shtick is. But the point is, the Rebbe is mamish, the Rebbe is mamish, mamish. It's saying oisius. The whole, the truth is, if you go back to Tavshin Yural, if you go back to Basi Lagani, those are really the oisius all along. But the Rebbe used oisius in the yods. The Rebbe used oisius. He was still using the oisius of chassidus, of the traditional chassidus. It was miyosad amaymarim of the early rabbeim. But if you go to any maimer, you'll see that the Rebbe, in later years, the Rebbe was shortening it and shortening it, just picking out a point. But you see, everything that the Rebbe was trying to convey was, kiddies, this stuff is real. This stuff is hands-on reality. You heard of gravity? You heard of the, you know, the physics? You heard of, you know the difference between that a rock is hard, a pillow is soft? That, right? Not because you went to school for it, not because you went, because it's just
reality. I only know that because we learned it in Rambam 2 days ago. That the different chronics that each site has.
Yeah, you didn't have to get a philosophy degree. This is just that kind of real. It's so real. This should be the reality for your kids. This should be reality for the ladies. This should be the. It shouldn't be. It's not being presented as. It shouldn't be. The Rebbe was not presenting it as mysticism that you have to leave the world to connect to. That was presented.
So you're saying this is a general thing that was throughout the Rebbe's whole Messias. What? Right, but the Rebbe was the Chadish in the Shlichas, in particular in Chaisara Kabbalah Tzim Shizukenu. Does that mean that now this is all focused around, you have to do all this in order to greet the Rebbe as Mashiach, or is it not, how do you, what was the Rebbe bringing to the table as a Chadish in Chaisara?
That now it's
Kabbalah Tzim Shizukenu.
To me, Pashut, what the Rebbe was saying is if you come ready to greet Mashiach, you have to come with all of you, not... Which I used to get very annoyed with the pajama, you know, the marshal of the two brothers, and then they tzikriked, and he didn't have an invitation to the wedding, and he got his pajamas, whatever, whole thing. So basically the message was, Mashiach is coming no matter what you do. And that's what the Rebbe was telling us. The message the Rebbe came to tell us, Chafras Nissen, is Mashiach is coming no matter what you do. And I'm just giving
that was more the message, I think, of Nayak than Chafras Nissen.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a chance to put on your to not come to the goal in your pajamas. And I'm saying I understood it completely the other way. The Rebbe said, "I'm ready to go." I told you in Tavshin Yudale that Yaakov Avinu is ready to go. I'm being held up so the Kindle should catch up. I told you this way back 40 years ago. I'm waiting for you the guys to catch up. And he basically just said it in stronger words, gave us a little heads up that things were going to be changing. And he says, I need you to catch up. I need you to catch up means that it has to become your reality. And become your reality is you're not, it's not that you're being more careful with Shulchan Aruch and being more careful with learning and davening and Kima Mitzvahs Behidr and with chayas and excitement and when you encounter people you're expressing your chassidus of vadamkeit as the Rebbe said but it's all coming from the fact that this is reality. It's not I'm doing this for something else. I'm doing this for so that. The people literally would fabreng, especially in the Tkufa after Chav Zaynod, there were people literally fabrenging about, whatever they thought the thing that we needed to do was, they literally talked about it like this, like a certain, I remember sitting with a group of guys and saying, do you really believe, this is like in Nun Gimel, Nun Dalet, do you really believe that there's a certain amount of people you got to get to say Yechi? When you hit that number, then upstairs, the bell goes off, ding, 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 ding. We hit the number, the scoreboard lights up, and then Mashiach comes. Is that how you see it? And they told me point blank, yes. And I told them point blank, I pray you're right. And I pray the number is within reason.
So
I don't think so.
So what do you think is?
That need to be, take things with Panemius? What's the answer? Yeah.
And by the way, one of those guys became a very successful Shliach in Eretz Yisrael anti And when he see when he comes to New York and he would see me, he would like he would scoot away. Like I would like nod at him. I couldn't give him a shalom aleichem. He would like he was very bad. It's because he was yes, he was very forcefully yes. We're gonna hit the number. Ding ding ding. We got the number. We're ready to go. So is it? It's not. That's the point. Is it's not. A, it's not about a number. There's some kind of reality shift. The Rebbe said, like the Rebbe's, you know, when Leibu Grana came to the Rebbe after, you know, the Rebbe asked him, it was after Shabbos Parsha Shmini already, the Rebbe asked him, what's been the reaction to the Sicha? And so he says that he said to the Rebbe, you know, people feel like they don't know what to do. So the Rebbe said, I just spoke Shabbos, what to do? And the whole Sicha of Shabbos, what was the Sicha of Shabbos Parsha Shmini? The Rebbe says, the whole Sicha of Shabbos Parsha Shmini was, you have the power to draw infinite light into a finite world. When you learn Torah, when you do mitzvahs, you draw it into your own mind and heart. You can draw infinite light into the world around you. You have this amazing power to draw into the world. So when you relate to it as that kind of a power, you're going to want to do more. If you don't relate to it as that kind of a power, so then you trying to figure out what your yaitza, you know, where's. So the Rebbe said, you just have to add in Taira Mitzvah, Hedda Mitzvah. And, so he said, but he said people feel that they've already, you know, added and the Rebbe called for adding for it. But I say, it's not nish genug.
Was there a shift from Chav Ches Nissen, I guess, till now? Is there a difference? Like, my question is, in Noyach, the Rebbe says that we've made a Chazur Nefesh and you know all the avodah of Golos.
Necessary, yeah,
correct. Has been complete.
That's what I'm telling you. So, and then the next week, the Rebbe is telling you to. You want to be rich to learn the Mitzvah Rebbe's Chassid, to learn Chassidus B'Shufi, especially the Mitzvah Rebbe's Chassidus where it's Mahamish Barachova. If you
give that was all about
no B'Pshitus that they need to know Kalaterakula, to learn Kalaterakula. Then next week the Rebbe is saying that we need to have Kibush HaMaychen already. It's not just about and the next week the Rebbe is week after week the Rebbe didn't change the tune and say. We need to sit back and scratch our heads to figure out why isn't
but
the
shift. But he changed what the benchmark was. Whereas till now, what was necessary was the Maseinu of Avedisenu. Now the Rebbe says what's necessary is to pile off the Mashiach Tukenu and then tell Mashiach Tukenu. So even Takat L'Chayre, even the Avedi we're doing that, it has to be Pneumius and we should have the goal that should be Elikos B'Pshitos. It's all Bitor affecting what has to happen in order to have this Talib Mashiach Tukenu that you should be able to take us out of dollars.
Of course, you want to balabatish your way of understanding it. But the Rebbe shouldn't chap bezyonis by presenting you to the Alter Rebbe. This is my nirachos. You shouldn't chap bezyonis. Do you want the Rebbe to chap bezyonis? He's going to present you to the Alter Rebbe. Do you want to give the Rebbe bezyonis? You want to give the Rebbe that the Rebbe should. Honestly, just ask yourself that question. Forget about philosophy.
I don't know. Honestly, I feel like it's a little moo. Like
I would sit by Fabreng. It's where everybody would explain that the whole kavanah of the Baal Shem Tov of the Alter Rebbe was all for Derashvi. So you should be very proud to walk the way you are. Be very proud to walk up to the Baal Shem Tov and say, "Hey, you know, I'm your man. I'm the guy. I did it. The Mitzvah Chemagid. You know, Lamerad Nabisul. You know,
I'm saying,
and you know, you would." Be digging a hole to find a place where to bury yourself. So why do you think? Why
I'm saying no, Adrab.
By the way, Adrab is this place where Adrab talks about. Somebody was once chaperoning me that. You come from the literature world, so it's Torah learning. So I said, okay, like by the Rebbe, not everything is Torah learning. Okay, the Rebbe specifically said that his dream The Rebbe once spoke about he has a chazoin. Notice that his chazoin is einem and development limud haTorah. That's the Rebbe's chazoin. Not the chazanish and not the one from Lakewood and not, that's the Rebbe's chazoin. Einem and development limud haTorah. But okay, I said, do me a favor. Take out a Torah and look at the Torah and count how many times it says the words v'tamud ha'biyadim. And in right. How many contexts? It's not just about after you're dead. It's about when Mashiach comes and Tchias HaMaaseh. I'll answer your question. You know, or you're going to come face to face with God. God says, oh, Lamedatin and Larnin. And you're going to say, I got nothing. This is my language. God told you. This is what I care about. This is what I'm interested in. This is my language. You want to talk to me? You want to sit face to face to me? They never spoke in Yisrael. Maybe it was the Nalov still. The Indian of that everybody today is Shaykh, not only to Akash Baruch Hashem, Kedu Hashem, Kenegdei, but even to. I'm thinking of the Aniyam Shem Adavir Sufiche, even to Ram Lashani Imra Sacha, that the Davis is Mamar speaking through.
Oh, yeah, I'm tagging Imra Sacha.
Mamar speaking through his mouth. That the Rebbe is not.
Right, you know, but my point is.
Anybody who figured out that the Rebbe was offering kulas.
No, you're right. No, you have you, like this. You bring up a very, very good point. My only qualm is that this is something that the Rebbe was the entire Nesias was about this, was trying to push us into this thing. And Chav Ches Nissen was obviously like you said, you saw it coming because you listened to the sikha of that the Rebbe said right before, but something changed in Noyach in Nun Beis that the Rebbe didn't start changing his tune in the sense of he's still everything that you're saying continues through Nun Beis and through the very end and through now, but my point is that there was a shift, there was something that changed in Tefshin Nun Beis, and Simcha I think was trying to say that the shift was from Masinim Avedisenu to the whole concept of to be Zeicha to the Gula Mitzvah Shlema, and now everything has to shift. So it's not a contradiction, right? It's not a contradiction, like you said. Shlichus, Avedis HaShlichus is not a contradiction to Avedis.
The Sikh of Shmeis Nun Beis is all about Lahavi the Meis HaMashiach, the Sikh of the...
Right, so I'm not saying that it's no longer that. What I'm saying is that there was a different element that instead of basically like this, there's two things going on, right? And like you explained to me before, that the whole contradiction is in ourselves, that we perceive a contradiction, but it itself is not a contradiction. So my next point is that what happened in Tavshin Nun Beis was there was still this concept of Avodah and the Lahavi L'Mayis Mashiach, that whole thing, learning Kol HaTorah Kula, going through the Chassidus Parsha and all that stuff. But the Avodas HaShlichus, the Rebbe took it out and he put in a new thing called Kabbalah Spinei Mashiach Tzidkenu. He put in a new Avodah, a new, thing that goes hand in hand with...
I will address that.
Yes, please.
Allow me to address that. Because we're running long.
Yes, we are. I guess we'll finish off with this. We'll finish off with this Nakuda.
Basically, the Friedrich Rebbe describes... one of the Anashim Pshutim that he encountered over the years from earlier generations. And he describes this Ish Pashut that they learned with him, Tanya, only till Perek Lamed Hei. He didn't mention that in passing, that one of the things they learned with him only till Perek Lamed Hei.
I learned till Perek Lamed Hei today.
What's that?
This morning. And the Shlomo Zachi is Tanya Sherry. Finished Perek Lamed Dalet today.
So what was the significance of that? The significance of that was, if you think about it, what was the significance? The significance of that was that for the first 34 prakim, The Alter Rebbe does not really, except when he talks about the Tzadik Gomer and what his avod is, but the Alter Rebbe does not introduce the concept of any kind of, that in your avod is Hashem, there's anything except what's between you and God. The 34 chapters, all he talks about is, you took an oath. I didn't take the oath for you. I got my own oath. You took an oath. You swore up and down that you are going to be do everything you about to be a tzaddik and not be a Russian. That's your, you know, and you got business with the Lord, and you gotta get yourself right with the Lord. I mean, that's, and I'm going to show you how to do it. That's, you know, and, you know, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have ups and downs. You'll have bad days. So I'm going to show you how to cheer yourself up. I'm going to show you how to overcome that. I'm going to give you the tools that you need to work out your relationship. In Perek Lamed A, the Alter Rebbe starts to explain La'asei. So he starts to explain that. To explain more, the Tevis La'asei, and also to be Menachem the Beinonim, to know that their work is also of significance. They're not like the Tzadik Gomer, who that's his whole work, is to... you should know that you also have an important part of the work, and in certain ways, the fact that you're doing it through a skafia is in certain ways even more
special,
because that's special. Really, so you start to introduce you to the idea that you have a role to play in the cosmic story. That's really, so the chassidim, the Friedrich Rebbe met chassid, that was a chassidish chinuch for a simple guy who wasn't, you know, going to be a big scholar. He was going to be serious about, you know, getting right with God. That they sort of gave him the tools. They learned with him. And I think also he's maybe Mem Aleph and Mem Beis, or Mem Aleph through Mem Zayin, something like that. But so why? Because the point was, that's not your department. That's the Tzaddik's department. And that was the understanding. The Rebbe spoke about this in Purim Mem Zayin, where the Rebbe spoke about this idea that it goes from the Anasi who are curled, but everyone understood that it belongs to the Anasi who are curled. That was not the, you should know that you have a part, a big part in it, and the fact that you're mutching Zach, and you're not having this major, win that the Tzaddik is having, you're living a perpetual struggle. You should know that your perpetual struggle is a very important component of that cosmic plan. But in Perek Mem Aleph, he says, listen, you should have in mind, that what you're doing is part of the cosmic plan, but it's not going to be as real for you as it is for the Tzaddik, because you have a different kind of relationship. Your relationship is like the Eved, and even though you have to have a little bit of Ben in you, you're not going to be like quite like the Tzaddik, who's a Ben like Moshe Rabbeinu, who's giving his life for his dad. So you're in a different league. That's not, but you should have that in mind also. You should know. So the Rebbe took the whole chassidus and said, is flipping it completely on his head. The Rebbe is saying, all the stuff that you're going to do inside yourself is not for you. Nobody cares about you getting right with God. We care about the job getting done. But in order to get the job done,
you got to get right with God.
Of course we want you to be, of course it's going to be good for you too. Nobody's ever asked you to do anything that's not going to be good for you too. But that's not the focus. You go back literally in the Yuds and the earliest years that ever talked about, a level of Kabbalah's oil where he's not even looking for the fact that it's going to edel him eyes. He's not even looking for the fact that it's going to schlep him out of Sheltach. He's not even looking for the fact that he's only focused on the Abish is getting what he wants. And then the Rebbe would say, mm-hmm. When you do that, when you flip that, you buy into my vision. It's not your vision. The Alter Rebbe told you it's not your vision. It's my vision. But when you buy into my vision and you do, you're not ready to, you don't necessarily feel, you don't necessarily, I'm going to get inside your kishkas, I'm going to connect you to that reality. That can drive you. But it has to drive you, all of you. I need all of you. But the drive is not about you and you getting you getting yourself. You're doing all of those things. You're promoting all of those things. You're teaching all of those things. You're printing those svarim. You're teaching those svarim. All these ideas. You're doing it all in the context of getting this is it. We're at the end. It's not a luxury anymore. Now it's not a luxury item for super special people. Now it's everybody's business. So it's a huge flip. It's unusual, of course. What am I going to? You're talking to me about an avodah, which Alter Rebbe says very clearly is not for me, and you're telling me that should be my only focus. So the Rebbe says, "Yeah, I'm taking you to a whole different level. That's the flip of all flips. Do you want to know what changed? Everything changed. The whole story changed. You got to go back.
We'll
to time
become the tzaddik and gemara and the kabbalah's name is Shach Zakeinu. That's the name of the game now.
Yeah, you got to go back to Tanya and everything changed. The whole story changed. Literally from the front page of Tanya to the first words. The Rebbe's vision of that, everything changed. That the Rebbe's vision of that is little kids saying, throwing up their arm and screaming, Ki, Karay, Vilacha. But that's not just for then go on to grow up to be a Stam Shlub. But that should be your reality. That should be your reality because that's where we are. We're here. You know, they have the maps. You know, you are here.
We are here.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we are here. It changes the game in every detail. Every detail. It's totally
and, simple. And until we don't do the job, saying that's why we're still here. We shouldn't give the Eibishter any excuses.
I can tell you, I said this 30 years ago. If I woke up after 30 years and I said, okay, yeah, you see, looking back, I wasn't the Grace of Chacham then, and I'm not the Grace of Chacham now. I was literally just reading the, you know, I would bring with young Bach years ago, I would say, listen, don't believe anything I say. Look it up. Everything I quote, look it up. Don't believe a single word I say. Look it up. I said, but look at, this is the pair of eyes you need to look at it with. Don't look at the guy who learned from someone who was Makabal from someone who was Makabal from him, and he's a Makabal from him, and he was back in the Tem Chetmim, and he was by Groinem, and I don't know any of these people. I never met him. I don't know anybody. I wasn't Makabal from anybody. I read Sichas that they ever published in newspapers. Look at it from the eye of somebody who is picking up a newspaper. Don't look at it from the guy who has the whole baggage of, you know, of Greinem's Fabrengens and Nissen's Fabrengens and Schleimachheim's Fabrengens and this one's very. Forget it. You don't know anything. You know newspapers. You know the language it's written in. You know Yiddish, you know Hebrew, and you know newspapers. Obviously, you have to have some background in Torah Judaism in order to understand the basic concept. Look at it through the eyes of someone who's picking up a newspaper.
That's a very good perspective.
If you literally do that, if you take out everything you know and you literally do that, it will freak you out. You know what I'm saying? You don't know because you grew up with it. You don't know what it is to look at it from with totally fresh eyes. The
like you were saying in the beginning, so we categorize so much of what the Rebbe says into things that are real, things that are potential things that are like, that. Okay.
And by the way, if you go through Torah Shalom and you go through some of the Friedrich Rebbe's Sichas, you could see how they're directly.
Rebbe Shab or the Friedrich Rebbe?
The Rebbe Shab's Torah Shalom.
Yeah.
And the Friedrich Rebbe in his Sichas, you can see that they're directly attacking Groinem, usually not by name. They're attacking and they say, we know you're telling the Bachrim that this doesn't mean this and this doesn't mean that and you're not holding by this, you're not holding by that. We know you're doing that. It's the wrong thing. And that's it. And you say, don't listen to them, but that was it. And they kept the job. They kept the job. And he kept them in the job. You have to understand that I think Tesvav Tazayim maybe was a similar state. The Rebbe was Fabrenging. And the Rebbe spoke to the Bachra. The Rebbe said, he would turn and say, speak to the Bachra. In those early years, he would like address the Bachra by Fabrenging. So he was addressing the Bachra and he said, basically the Teichen, at bottom, I don't remember the exact words. The Rebbe said, the Teichen was, yeah, the Yeshiva's lousy. And the Rosh Yeshiva's are lousy and the Mashpiyim are lousy. What do you care? You're in the Rebbe's Yeshiva. And I think people didn't understand what that, all the people who kvetch about the system and the this and that, they're still looking for answers from the Mashpia. And the Rebbe demanded Mashmas to Dan Hala, and the Rebbe demanded all those things. We have a system in place. We have a structure in place. Fine. Don't get hung up on the structure. Look at me. And that was the message is, you have to see, what I'm here for is all these guys, yeah, they need a salary, and they need a, and they're probably doing good stuff, and they, you know, and they could be helpful and useful, and you know, I'll get to guide you on your way. I need you to buy into my vision. That's what you're here for. This is what the being in the Rebbe's yeshiva means. Buy into my vision. Don't let anybody else. I didn't put in superstars who are going to dazzle you with their vision, because their vision is ultimately Seichel Anushi. I'm not selling that. So don't get hung up on this guy's Seichel Anushi or the other guy's Seichel Anushi. I'm giving you the vision of reality, and reality of Elokus v'Pshitus. Not Elokus v'Pshitus as it is in Rikia Ha, pick a number, but Elokus v'Pshitus as it is in Elam HaZagashmi. I'm telling you, follow this blueprint. And by the way, I want to tell you something. If you look at what the rest of the world is doing, the programs they're doing for people to learn Shas, the programs they're doing for people to retain what they learn, for programs that they're doing, and they're doing it for Balabatim, they're doing it for lay people, they're doing it. It's amazing that Rebbe talked about knowing Kala Terakula, and this mamish a huge push everywhere else to master all kinds of. The Rebbe has a vision. It's other people realize it in their own kav. It's all the Rebbe's vision. They don't know it's all the Rebbe's vision. They think that they're cure of
profession. That's America.
But yeah. Whatever. But the fact is, that's the Rebbe's vision. They're going to actualize it in their way. We need to actualize it in the real Chassidish, Durchgeweckt, Durchgearbeit, Chassidish way. But it all starts with Maisa B'Paya, whatever it is that the Rebbe says, do it. Put one foot in front of the other. The only way to learn three prakim of Rambam is to take the book in your hand, open it up, look inside, read the words. You got to do the, and then look at the translation if you can't translate it for yourself. You have to do, if the Rebbe says learn something to Ian, look in the Mefarish. It won't happen by itself. If you do the things, but the Rebbe is telling you the power of doing in our generation is that when you do it, you will be amazed. While you're doing it, you think, who am I? What am I? What is it really worth? What does it really mean? If you do the things, and you do it with, especially if you're doing it with the right intentions, if you're really thinking about what it means and what the significance is and how we're bringing the world to its perfection, if you think about it, yes, maybe you don't appreciate the Yichud Nitzchi L'Elam Vod that you could have. So maybe you're too spiritually dulled to appreciate eternity and infinity when you're faced with a slice of pizza. Fine. Okay. Yes, the slice of pizza wins. Eternity and infinity is not even a close second. Okay, fine. But at least the idea that you're bringing the world to its ultimate perfection, that I know I put in your kishkus. I put it in there. It's something that I had a friend, Oliver Shalom, that before I had anything to do with Lubavitch, so his best friend, he and his best friend went and spent the Shabbos in Kfar Chabad, and his best friend stayed, and he didn't. So this was a friend of mine, whose best friend stayed in Lubavitch, and then became in Lubavitch, and he did not. So they both spent the Shabbos together in Kfar Chabad. So he was telling me before, he said the one thing he has real hanor, he says he saw these two modern-looking guys. He was coming. He was on the plane there, so there was two very modern-looking guys with very modern-looking wives, and they're yakking the whole trip. They're yakking. These were not the guys who got up and went around and put tefillin on everybody, and these were not the guys who. He says they're just sitting. They were like on two sides of the aisle, so they're sitting and schmoozing the whole trip. And he says at the end, he's like getting up to go, and he says the one turns to the other and says, and he said, see, he even as an outsider, he didn't know what he appreciated about it, but he sort of appreciated the fact that guys who, mitzad their whole tzior, look like they're so, you know, not shaykh to anything, that something inside them is like, you know, yeah, we're all connected to that mission of fixing the world. The Rebbe says, work it backwards. Vayakri, you'll get to Vayikra. Yes, the traditional system is, and the Rebbe said it from day one. The Rebbe said, bottom up. Work it bottom up, and you'll see. But bottom up is not exciting. Bottom up is not thrilling. Bottom up is not wow, breakthrough. Bottom up means you've daven, you daven, you daven, and then you have a day where you're like, wow.
One more question.
That was it.
A lot of people.
You're frustrated and you're miserable, and your mind is playing tricks on you, and you're trying to daven, and you feel like the biggest faker, and you feel like the biggest phony, and you feel like it's all make believe, and it's all contrived, and what am I doing here? And I'm what a yutz, what a lowlife, what an idiot. And if you know the Mitlet Ebbes said this another about that all of your Bachshava Dibur Maises that are in Klippa come to fight you when you're davening, and you get to taka meet them, and you feel like whatever, just do it, show up and do it, and you show up and do it. It's not about, that's what I'm saying. It's not about, oh, when I'll be on this level, then I'll do it. I'll be on that level. This is the opposite.
Take the first step, go do it, get involved, take it seriously. Nem is not kidding around.
Now, you could be a guy who started learning the Rambam from the first cycle, and you still don't fully understand 80% of what you learned, and you never looked in any of the Farshim to find out what it means. You could do that too. I don't think you can do that. You can do that too. But what you could do is you could also open up for yourself a new vision of what your capabilities are that you would have thought you never shacked. Like the guy who I see him regularly, the guy who was here on Kibbutzah and he told the Rebbe, he's not shacked to learning anything at all. That's it. Learning's not for him. The Rebbe said, learn something that interests you for 5 minutes a day. I'm asking you to try this out. But you have to stop at 5 minutes. You must stop at the 5 minutes. No matter what, whatever you're holding, you must stop at the 5 minutes. Anyway, the guy, he's told the story publicly. He said he learned Chumash and Rashi. Started Chumash and Rashi, and then you could see the 5 minutes, and he didn't know the answer to the, and it was like bug him, So at some point, he came back and asked permission to go more than 5 minutes. Whatever, and he's an interesting guy. He's not, is he a big learner today? Love that. But the point is, the Nevis system is, you're not, it's not that I am this, and I'm trying to become that. I am that. People say use the line fake it till you make it. And I say that's not what Chassidus is. That's not an accurate representation of Chassidus. Chassidus is real it till you make it. Not fake it till you make it. Do what's the most real.
Do it earnestly.
No, but do it because this is the reality. The problem is that my Nefesh HaBahamas and is covering up the reality for me. But this is the reality. That's how the devil's approach to everything is. Just like you approach the other Jew and you say, oh, just look at his neshama. Don't look at what his outside is saying. He's screaming, I hate you religious guys. Get away from me with your stupid boxes and straps. I'm never going to do it. Okay, fine. But whatever. And maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, maybe not the fifth time. But eventually, because you're not going to look at it. You're not going to listen to that. But you won't do that to yourself. I'm lazy, I'm this, I'm that. Okay, that's a choice that you make. The devil's telling you, Geula is, you have to do that to yourself just as much as you have to do that with anybody else. Because if not, what you're saying is that there's a stira between godliness and a part of the world, and the part of the world which you're most intimately connected to. You're screaming, there's a stira between Geula and my head and my heart. Not the other guy. No, everyone else is ready. The world is ready. This is ready. This is ready. Me? Forget about me. Don't count on me. I'll run around. I'll do. I'll scream. I'll make. I'll this. I'll do. I'll get everyone else. Me? Me not. When you, the guy who's saying me not, the Rebbe says the melacha is done. Now it's only the yaladim that.
How does this stem with Nayach, they're saying that the Chesed and Nefesh, if you have something that the thing that's a prat and You have to, I'm saying you have to work on it. He's not saying not to work on it.
That's what he's telling you. You have to see it as a part of the reality. Don't get hung up on it. You make a whole cheshbon of, listen, I'm not holding there, I'm not this. I'm
right,
not
but you're saying this is the recipe. Knows. You're saying this is the recipe for Mashiach. If the Rebbe is saying that, no.
This is a prat, the Mashiach. That's what I'm saying. It's not about you. Nobody cares about you.
Ah.
Nobody cares about you. What's going to be with you? Not because you're head and heart.
Right.
It's not true.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying conceptually. I'm trying to flip.
Right.
Conceptually. Of course it's true. We do care about you. We care about. And the whole reason for all the way back to Tzimtzum HaRishon is only because God cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically you. He had you in mind. It wasn't. He also had a lot of other people in mind. But not. He had you specifically and exclusively in mind. It wasn't. He's able to manage that.
Right, like you were saying, we're saying we're nothing, but the Rebbe is saying that, yeah, you're right, you're nothing, but I still need you to do the thing.
Take that nothingness and harness it to the last preparing for the Geula. Take that and don't fight it and don't use it as an excuse and don't use it as a, don't beat yourself up over it. Tshuva, don't worry, because I'm so bad and yeah, you have to fix something, fix it, but fix it in the context. And the context of that, it's done. It's done. It's not, I don't need to go through all those steps and stages. That was done for me. What Alter Rebbe wrote in Tanya, the first 34 Bracha, how you, of course you have to do all those things, but the Rebbe's saying you have to do all those things. It's a different context. It's not, maybe one day I'll be really great. I'll be on the level that I could relate to the Rebbe Tachtein and relate to the Eibishter's desires. No, the Rebbe says, put the Eibishter's desires first, and he needs you to be ready. And in that context, being ready, do it all, but he wants you to show up. It's the only reason. If you learn Chassidus, you understand what Chassidus is about, the whole idea of why we needed these seven generations. It was not because your tefillin was better than the other Jews' tefillin. It's not because we needed it for the inner shift. We didn't need it to have a different pair of tefillin and a different kind of gartel and a different kind of langerekel and a different kind. It wasn't what it was needed for. What was needed for what the ultimate is nefesh and all the what was needed for was the internal change, the internal shift. That's all Chassidus was ever needed for. Not to convince a bunch of people to become outreach workers. It was to make that inner change. That's what it was for. That it should be that the Gili Elikus, that should be laws of love, it should come in a panemius. That's the whole story. Anything you ever learned was, and you're going to show up without a head, without a heart. So you're going to be, you say, well, listen, let me cut them about Gedalim, right? The Rebbe says in the Maimer, at his taka cotton, and I'm at Blaibna cotton, I'm a kulam yeduis. You know, so okay, taka cotton, I'm a Blaibna cotton. Really? Who said that's how Mashiach wants to go to the Gula with you as a... No, he wants that you're just as much on board with the Kulam Yedu, I see, as you are just with the general Koch in Mashiach. I asked a guy, very serious guy, big medactic in Halacha, very big, Nimin Hagen and Halacha, this and that. And I said, if God came to you now and said, listen, I want you to already have now all the stuff that the rest of the Yidden are going to have in Yemei HaMashiach. I want you to already have now in advance. You're going to have your 28,000 servants, and you're going to have the Madanim Ketsuyim Metsuyim Kafa. You're going to have it all. The world, the rest of the world didn't catch up yet. You're going to have it all. I said, would you say, yeah, great, I'm ready for that. And your whole Eisek will be Ladas Hashem Bovah. We're starting with you. You're going to be the first guy. His instinctively, he didn't even think about it. Instinctively, he was. I've become a complete chaza. I've become completely fucked up. I've had all that money and all that and all those services. That was his default reaction. He, without thinking, without hesitating, his reaction was that without a divine lobotomy, without God doing brain surgery on me, I am not ready for what he has to offer. Unless they're going to do some kind of magical. So you're going to talk to me about panemius when you believe that you're so far corrupted, that you're so not shaykh to a gilui elikus of Yemei HaMashiach, that unless God overrides your bechira, you know, if you are left with the choice, You got everything that the Maaseh Mashiach has to offer. But you still lived in a world where you could pursue your, you're convinced you would pursue your lowly desires. So, get ready. That's what I think the message is. Get ready. That's what get ready means. Get ready means, are you ready? Do you feel ready? You feel ready for that? Or you say, no, only if you, only if it's Ruach HaTonah Avinah. There's places where the Rebbe says very strongly that the later places, there's slightly conflicting messages that need to be resolved. But there's definitely places where the Rebbe says that Ruach HaTonah Avinah arts won't happen in the first kufa. That's it. First kufa of the first kufa. If it doesn't mean the first kufa of the first kufa, the whole first kufa. I mean, we're going to get into a conversation. Or did the Rebbe say that we could abbreviate the whole process and skip through all the kufa so it's not going to be really an issue? But the Ruach HaTonah Avinah is definitely places where the Rebbe talks barichas. Not like he mentions the Rebbe. The Rebbe talks barichas. Yeah, you're really going to have to, you know, you're going to have to struggle with the Yetzer and so on. But ready means that am I a perfect specimen of, of Chassidus? No, I'm the furthest thing from it. I'm not presenting myself as that. But do I have an appetite for Gilui Lakus? Do I have a koach in Gilui Lakus? Do I, when I'm alone and nobody's watching, do I really try to put my mind into and heart into, you know, whether it's in learning or davening? Some part of my day, is there some part of my day that's devoted to changing how I relate to God and godliness? That's a question. That's something that should be the conversation. I'm just saying that should be the conversation. I think people are very sincere. I think people are very well meaning. I think people are very wanna, and if somebody comes along and offers them, you know, spirituality at the oil and the amazing spiritual experiences at the oil and
people want feel good things and easy way out.
But I don't think that, again, I don't think people are insincere. I don't think people are, I think people are very sincere. I think people are very.
Right. But there is something, right.
It's real sacrifices. People make real, the tough decisions in life. People, I think people either, it's mostly people give up on themselves beyond anything, either getting some kind of spoon fed spirituality from the internet or from some guru rabbi or from some, people have a hard time buying into a vision of themselves. So the Rebbe is telling, that's basically the message I got is, yes, I've sold you on the vision of what we could do out in the world. And even that, I had a much more extreme vision than you guys, Stan Batlonim. You didn't do a fraction of what I thought you could do out in the world. And the Rebbe made that clear also in other ways. It was too nice to say it and spell it out in those words. But the Rebbe made it clear that he thought that the Shluchim and the Holtzis could have accomplished 50 times more and they weren't busy with stupid machlokes and stupid territorial disputes and stupid all kinds of other stupidities. But at the same time, I still haven't convinced you that you are the guys, that you are the generation. You know what the toughest question you have when you talk to young people who are struggling with the question, how long is a generation? What does it mean to be a generation? Is it a generation? Yeah. What are they really asking? They're asking a math question? No, they're not asking a math question. What they're really asking is, I don't see myself as that person. That's what they're telling. I don't see myself as that person that, yes, everything was leading up to me being the one to have the gula. I don't see myself as that person. So I said, I sold you on every part of the vision. You bought into the idea that I'm going to magically come and change the world. But you never bought into the vision that you're the guy who it's for. You just never did.
Were you less shocked about Gimel Thomas than other people?
You thank your father. Is he still listening in? You thank your father for being the one to call me on the Sunday morning to let me know. that was a real treat. Listen, I was shocked. I'm not going to pretend that I was shocked. But I also have a number of witnesses that, again, I had to be careful who I said it to. But when a certain person was, there was a certain well-known person that was saying that that if a Gimel Thomas happens, then the Rebbe is an Avishaker. And I was told people, and again, I didn't have big audiences. I didn't speak in public. I spoke to people who in Bar Bach, whoever would come to the shiur. And I said to people, I said, this guy is, okay, in the end, he got out of it with Taisi. But I said, this is completely reckless, completely, you know, I said, the Rebbe said, I gave it up to you. I don't want to find out what happens if we insist that it's not up to us. And that, I said, I wouldn't make, you know, I wouldn't make those predictions. As I said, I sat by for brains with guys talking about throwing the Rebbe's bed out the window from about this philosophy. This was such a cop. I'm not, you know, these guys, that was, you know, literally how people, some people, you know, saw the situation. Yeah, there were people on the other side who thought, oh, you need to get a better doctor. You need to force the Rebbe to do even things that Rebbe doesn't agree to. Okay, whatever. Each guy according to his version of Grabkeit. I think in a way I found throwing the Rebbe's bed out the window more edel, more chassidish than, deciding you have to overrule the Rebbe on his healthcare decision. Right, that's just me. Maybe I wasn't mekabel from the people who are mekabel from the people who are mekabel from the great chassidim. Okay. Yes, yes, I don't know.
So the person that made that comment of if Gimel Thomas happens, then the Rebbe is a Navi Sheker. What I guess, why do you think that it's not? Why do you think that the Rebbe? Why do you think that even with Gimel Thomas?
I never understood the Sikh of Shaytim Nun Aleph that way. I never understood the Nebuah that way. That same person ran around saying it took him from when the Sikh came out till after Mendel Vechter came and made a chasn in New York at the end of towards the end of Nun Gimel. After Tishrei Nun Gimel, and he got permission from the Rebbe to come in to America for the first time after his life was in danger. So Mendel Vechter sat with this person, and really, that Tishrei, really, that was hacking him, the Sikh of Shaftim and Aleph and this and that. So finally, he, at that point, he said, okay, Zabafedish and Nevoa. But till then, he was not being garrisoned the whole thing, and then he went back and forth. It's history, but I never bought it. I know.
How do you understand La'alter Lagula? What's Pshat La'alter?
What was Pshat La'alter Lagula by the Friedrich? What was Pshat La'alter? La'alter is Gula. This is all Gula. It's not Gula. It's Gula. The Rebbe said, the Rebbe said, we already have this guy, so Melech HaMashiach. He's just waiting for you guys. You know,
did you we always have this Galus of Melech HaMashiach?
Well, you guys are napping. I might as well take a nap too. That's all.
So the Nebuah was that now Mashiach is coming with Galus, and now it's ready. Here. And the Parshat Vartanov of you guys to get your act together.
He's here, not a few guys. What do you mean, a few guys? Did you buy in? Did my people? Yeah, I'm just saying, did Mashiach's people, the people who screamed the loudest that I'm Mashiach, did they buy into my vision or not? They're the ones I did. I didn't.
Is there anybody in the world that you would say did buy into it?
Again, everybody does to an extent. But what happens is we're programmed to when we encounter our own, and that's why it's so important about the Sikh of Nerech Tavshin Beis. We're programmed from our education, that when we encounter our weaknesses and flaws, we say, forget it. Yeah, no, that's not happening. Let me go get the other guy, but this guy, I'm looking at me right now, this guy ain't happening. Yeah, I mean, I'll be more, a little more religious, I'll take on another little thing of this. Yeah, but this guy, you know, nothing serious is going to be happening here with this guy, because I know him, and I know him too well, and, you know, just forget about it. That narrative, that's what the Rebbe came in my mind, in Nayach Tavshin Beis, to say, no. No, no, no. You don't get to say, oh, I'm the bad guy, and therefore forget about me and just did it. No, yeah. Oh, you have something to fix, fix it. It's fine. We're not saying, you know, but it's, you know, you need to be coming along for the ride, too. And it's not because, oh, you know, so I didn't just tell you that you know, Tshuva's not holding up the Gula. Tshuva's not holding up the Gula. Tshuva's not the problem. The problem is, I need my people. I need my people. I need my...
Andre Meja.
The Rebbe said in Be'er and Numbez. The Rebbe said, you know, the Rebbe's going to come in and he's going to look and see, where are you holding in all the Nyanei Avayda? Besides the fact that the Rebbe totally flipped it in Yisrael, and the Rebbe came along and he said that what he said in the first year, that everybody should... No, everybody should find 10 Jews and convince to be...
Oh, to make them that they should bring that...
And then in here, the Rebbe said you should find 10 Jews and be mashpia them and call in Yanei Terah Mitzvahs. The Rebbe didn't say one thing in Machshava, one thing in Dibra, one thing in Maisa. The Rebbe said, calling Yanei Terah Mitzvahs. The Rebbe was talking a whole different language than he was talking at the beginning. The Rebbe was telling us we have a whole different... And the Rebbe said, I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about Shluchim. I'm talking about every private thing. Right? So how many people walked out of that scene? We said, oh, look at that. The Rebbe, so in Tavshin, the Rebbe held people's feet to the fire. Came to a Fabrang, and they came to this. The Rebbe said, no, where's your 10 people? Where's your, oh, no. Okay. Yeah, the Rebbe was, I'm not holding anybody's feet to the fire. You know what? You do it. Call me when you're done. So that's it. Call me when you're done. We don't... The storyline of I'm irredeemable, but I'm on board for redeeming the rest of the world. That's a fake.
Right. Did everyone want you to be on the ship?
Or the other version of it. I'm okay considering, you know, what a lowly generation we are. And I'm okay. So whatever I am, you know, like Dalton Rebbe says.
If whatever it is making you say that you don't have to work on it, that's not the answer.
Like Dalton Rebbe says, he's a Denu B'yadusa because he knows that he puts on tefillin and he wears sittis and he eats kosher, so he knows that he's fine. I'm saying, I'm fine, but I don't think the Rebbe expects more from me. He knows who I am, and he knows that that's the other way of going about it. But whatever it is, these storylines, there's more and more schools opening up in Lubavitch where they want to lower the standards. Really? That's the message you got from the Nalef Nubez, that we need more schools with lower standards, with less expectations, with more... With less Tyrus Akkadish, with their, it's ridiculous. It's not, she said, well, of course, they're bad people. No, they're not bad people. They are a more exaggerated version of the same story that the guys with the beards and all the frumishtik tell themselves. Listen, I know who I am. I'm not, you know, I'm no great shakes. Obviously, I would love to have it. I'd love to see Mashiach come, and I love this. And I'm willing to. Okay, the other guy is willing to run around and do something about it. I'm willing to write a check.
This is really what the Rebbe says in Chayisada, that Lohavi, and this that Evetin Dem, he'll wait around Evetin Dem until now. No, Lohavi, go. It's on you. You have to go do it.
That's it. But it's all of these things. And the same thing with all of the distractions. Now, Mashpiyam, our meeting, The new crisis is that Bachram are looking for guidance in life from Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro. Really? Okay, that's the new problem. Okay, listen, Baruch Hashem, we're not talking about the Bachram, you know, the other things that there are on the internet that you can get fakrachen. That's what we're not talking about. Fine. But really, that's a Bachram. In other words, you got an education in the Rebbe's Torah, you got an education. You sold him on the Rebbe's vision of the world to the point that he thought, you know what's a great idea? Let me go to Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro. Obviously, it's not, he doesn't get it. He doesn't see it. He's not. If we have more and more therapists hanging out shingles in Crown Heights and more and more people inventing their own Hasidic therapies and their own because that's it. People are walking around feeling tzibrachim, they're feeling tzag, they're feeling this, and they don't feel, they are not feeling that we're being presented with a redemptive vision that I can walk forward, I can walk towards, I can walk. I don't feel like there's something that I can excitedly march towards. It's you'll see guys that look like you'll see guys, you know, from the Bavitcher families on Simchas Torah that look like they put on a yarmulke just for Simchas Torah, singing, you know, marching to the Gula with the Rebbe Shlita with tears running down their face, and that part everybody got. That part, marching to the Gula with the Rebbe Shlita, you know, I'm going to be the guy I put on, you know, and he means it, and he's jumping up and down, he's crying, and it's Simchas Torah, and this, and for real, he's not faking it. Not putting on a show for anybody. He's drunk off his mind anyway, so if it's not real, he's a really good faker. But, no, it's very real. It's very real. It's in his kishkas. Marching to the Gula with the Rebbe Shlita is in his kishkas. But it's not something that has to do with real life. It's not something that has to do with real life. It has to do with, it's the Nekuda Mamun of the Yidna Mitzrayim. That's not what the Gula Shlame is. The Gula Shlame is supposed to be not like the Gula Mitzrayim. In some ways it's similar. In some ways it's supposed to be, we're going there because that's what we're holding. That's what we're ready. That's what we're ready for. That's what we're holding. Not, oy vey, what am I going to do with all these, what am I going to do with all these slaves and all this money? I'm going to become even worse than I am already. Now, if that's how you look at the world, if that's how you look at reality, then you're not really looking forward to the Gula. You sort of, on some level, feel that something, whether it's guilt or whether it's just, you know, the makif of it, that you're very caught up in the makif of it, that they did that. This is what I need to do, even if I'm not on board. The Rebbe says, you know what? I need you on board. That's it. I need you on board. I need you to buy into that. I need you to be going out. I need you to go out to kill the Shlavana because you're going out to accept Mashiach. You're going out to pictures of David Malcolm because, like, wow, yeah. Oh, this is my mom learning. Wow, what will it be like when Mashiach comes and I can actually see it? How awesome would that be? How exciting would that be that I'd actually see it? I could learn this b'derech ri'iyah. This would be, like, amazing. We don't talk to ourselves that way. We don't talk to each other that way. We don't talk about it as, what's the reality of it? Can you even picture the reality? Do you have any kind of picture you could offer somebody who sincerely wants to know? Most people will not ask. That's reality. People are too cool to ask stuff like, what's it going to be like? Everyone's way too cool. Everyone's way too smart. Fine. So what? So, but you see, they're getting excited about Jordan Peterson's vision of the world. They're getting excited about Ben Shapiro's vision of the world. How did you not getting them excited about the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach's vision of the world? You know, even if they're, and by the way, one of the Mashpiyim I heard talking about, he didn't mention the names, but it was a Mashpiyim, okay.
Can we finish up with this story?
I'm sorry?
We have to finish. So let's finish off with this story and then we'll,
I'm just saying,
we'll call it a night.
This is, the Rebbe believes in us, the Rebbe loves us, all that stuff that they talk about at the Fabrengans, that's all true. It's not just, that's just feel good stuff in the Fabrengans. But you have to make it true in your everyday life. You have to make it true that the Rebbe, yes, he believes in us way, way, way beyond anything willing to believe in ourselves. And therefore, the eighth is not to wait until I believe in myself. The eighth is put one foot in front of the other. Start doing it. Start doing the things that the Rebbe describes. Start doing the things. Yes, take out that sefer of the Mitzvah Rebbe's Chassidus. Take out that. Just do it. If you just do it, you will be shocked to discover, literally, your life changing. And by the way, that's the line you've used with any other person you ever reached out to, any kid in release time. Yep. You said the exact same words to him, and you won't say them. We don't like saying them to ourselves. Just do it. Do it. You'll see. Wow. But you'll see. Okay. It won't be a sound and light show. It'll be, you're going to wake up one morning, and you can look back. And, yeah, you're going to say, you know what? I think I want to own a pair of them. I don't want to have to keep coming. That's it. What happened? What changed? What was the big reveal? What was the big climactic scene? Nothing happened. It happens. It happens from
just doing it.
And yeah, you got to do it. But you have to be doing it as part of the program, not doing it for your own thing, because
like Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu.
Yes, if you're doing it as part of the program for Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu, you will be blown away by you literally be able to look back at yourself and earlier versions of yourself, and you'll be able to say, I cannot believe I used to be that guy.
Wow.
You will literally be able to look back and say, I cannot believe I used to be that guy. And you'll also say, I can't believe that I still get hung up on the same stupid things that I used to get hung up on. Because the Yetzirah still sells me the same old stupid stuff. And I'll still fall for it. If I'm not alert, I will still fall for the same stupider than stupid. It will literally convince you to do things that make you sick, that make you nauseous, you don't even like, you're not even interested in, you know you're going to feel bad afterwards, you don't feel that great during, and you say, oh, but I can't. The real job is, when the Rebbe gives it over to you in your hands, is the real job is, I can. That shift that you have to do in your head.
That
takes care of everything.
All right.
I can, not because I'm special.
Not because
I am, and I have to learn those in my mind and explain.
You got to do it. You got to do it because you're a chassid of the Rebbe, and this is, and that's it.
That's right. Because I was given the kechus, and I was given the abilities, and those kechus come from the Rebbe, they come from the Tzadik Mitzvah, they come from my Yetzim and Neshama, they come from wherever you want them from. They're coming. But
they're coming.
Then all nothing right. happens unless you get up and say, I can, and I do. You got to do it.
Got to do it. Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Okay, good night.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we want Mashiach now. Mashiach should come right now. And
thank you for Miad Mamish, and we'll figure out the rest afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All good.